the lights be burning. And the first Amen. Verse says, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. And today, that's what we did today. We put out the light. We gave a dark city, definitely a dark city, some light, the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel. Amen. And I thank God for that. Thank God for allowing us to be a witness out there. And I really enjoyed it. And had a lot of different comments this week. And praise God for allowing us to be out there. Can you give me an A platform?
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. You may rescue, you may save.
Amen. came back after last night, too, didn't you, huh? I'll tell you what, we're glad to see each of you here and to see some old faces and some old friends. By that, I don't mean that your face is old, Mike, but it's just good to see old friends, that's all. We're probably coming here tonight. I prepare during the day, thinking about what God would have me to speak on. And then I get here and God changes his mind. No, God doesn't change his mind. He changes my mind. And it's all your fault. You folks have, through your singing and through your testimonies, caused me to reconsider some of the material I have. I'm not out of material. Don't misunderstand me. But I just feel like tonight I was going to speak on Barabbas. But I think I'll speak on tonight the subject of never give up on God. I talked to a dear brother just before the service, and that kind of set the stage for this message, I think. Never give up on God. And I don't care how tough it looks, how dark it looks, how great it looks, just don't give up on God. I know there are a lot of stories here about those of you that have not given up on God, and God has come through, and I thank you, Dr. Stagno. I appreciate that. Is it on now? Is it on now? How about now?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I always get ready to go to work, and I forget about the fact that I've got, even though you plainly told me how to do it, Pastor Mike, but I'm sorry that I didn't do it. Never give up on God. Now, I'm going to speak from a text that you'd never think it, perhaps that ought to come from there, but I'm going to speak on a text that dispensationalists, and we are all dispensationalists, I trust and pray. I am. But sometimes we, with our dispensationalism, stymie the Spirit of God. So I'm going to preach out of the Beatitudes a little bit tonight, but I'm not going to preach on the Beatitudes. What does that mean? I mean, you agree with me? You disagree with me?
I agree with you.
Oh, okay, all right. I check it out. I got to find out what it's all about. All right. Never give up on God in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to incorporate some things tonight, the Lord willing, that God has given to me that I think it, you may think it's strange, but once you think the thing through, you're going to see exactly what God is saying. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Shall we stand for the reading of God's precious word? Now, the first verse I'm going to read to you, you probably all know by heart. Outside of Jesus wept, this is probably the most popular verse when you trap somebody. Say, give us a scripture verse, kid, and they know what it is. But let's move on with it for about four or five verses, and then we'll preach on it. Ask, verse 7, Matthew chapter 7, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That verse there, or those two verses there, are the most two misunderstood verses in the Bible for God's people. And when I get through preaching, maybe you'll understand what I'm getting at. Verse 9. Let's go to verse 8 again. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to them that ask him?
Amen.
That's another loaded verse. There's probably 10 sermons in there.
Amen.
Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Father, we thank you for your word. And we look at this portion of thy word, we are, our hearts are thrilled at what you've said there. Now may we glean that which you have by thy Holy Spirit written here. May thy Holy Spirit make it clear and plain, Father, that there are some truths here that perhaps sometimes we don't think through. And we get disappointed in prayer. We get discouraged in waiting on God and whatever the case may be, Father. But tonight we've heard some testimonies of those who've waited on thee. And our Father, they've had the victory. But there'll be another one come along. There'll be another struggle come along. And so help them not to get discouraged. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Get glory out of it, Father. Get glory out of everything that's said or done because you are so worthy. Praise thee and love thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate that. This is a good church. Except for you guys from Indiana. The word amen means we're through praying. Doesn't mean sit down. You know, we get so conditioned in churches. I'm going to get back to the message here in a minute. We get so conditioned in church. I love to preach on this stuff. We get so conditioned in church when the preacher says, hop, we hop, and we this, and so on and so forth. And we don't even think what he's saying. He said, amen, it's the end of a prayer. Everybody sits down. No, no, he didn't say sit down. He said, amen. And you know why I know there's a difference between amen and sit down? How? What is it? Tell me, Donna. They're spelled different. That's right. That's real easy. Even I understand that, and Donna always helps me out because she figures I forget things. All right. And I would covet your prayers. Get to be 79. Your eyes aren't like they used to be, and I guess I'm going to have some kind of surgery done. I'm getting like my dad is. It's pretty hard to read sometimes. Fine print. And I'm not asking for your sympathy. I don't need you. Doggone stupid sympathy.
Amen.
Just thought maybe I'd toss this out as a prayer request. All right. Never give up on God. I'm going to speak from these five verses here. A little girl saw her mother putting on cold cream. I read this. My wife used. I don't use the internet. I don't know the first. I don't even know how to turn the stupid thing on. I really don't. I don't have any idea. The only button I like on that computer is the delete button. Look at her nodding her head. And I get the idea that I'm going to fix the thing good because I hit buttons and nothing happens and I hit buttons and nothing happens. So I just put on that thing and I start deleting things. This is what's wrong. And my wife will come on and she'll say, oh, you've destroyed my... But that's all right. And I will have to confess to you a sin. To you Christians. I'm the best solitaire player on computer there is. It's the only thing I know about the solitaire. But I heard this on my wife gets an email or something like this. And I heard this and I thought I'd give it to you. Mother was putting on cold cream one evening on her face and rubbing it into her face. And you know how the women do. I know how my wife does. And the little girl says, Mother, why are you putting that stuff on your face? The old daughter said to her mother. Mother said, to make myself beautiful, honey. And she said, oh, okay. And after a while, the mother, after she had rubbed it in good, took a Kleenex and started wiping it off. And the little girl says, what's the matter, mother? Giving up already?
Oh, boy, I'm about to die.
Giving up already? Now, I know we're laughing, and that's a joke. I know we're laughing. But you know what? Way down deep in the bottom of your heart and soul, you know that's true in your life and some of your prayer life. Yeah. You've just given up. Just given up. Never, never, never give up on God. I got to keep my hands out of my pocket. My wife says, take your hands out of your pockets. The reason I put them in there, honey, is you went shopping today and I wanted to see if you put the money back or not. You didn't. It's as empty as can be. I sometimes believe God looks at our puny prayer life and says, giving up already?
Yeah. Come on, brother. Try.
Children have great faith. I'm amazed at kids. They believe stronger in Santa Claus than many Christians do in God.
Oh, boy.
A whole lot of Christians believe in God. I read on this internet that she had on some letters from little children to God. And with your permission, or without it, I will read them because I get a kick out of them. Now, it may not be funny to you, and you may not enjoy it, but I think it's great. First one said, "Dear God," from Ruthie, "I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me." Think about that for 100 years. It'll help you. This is from Billy. "Dear God, instead of letting people die and making new ones, keep the ones you've got now." Kids. This is kids. Little Annie said, "Dear God, did you mean for a giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident?" Here's what I like. Little Johnny says, "Thank you for my, dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Almost said poppy, huh? All right. Billy, "Dear God, please send me a pony. I have never asked for anything before." You can look it up. Here's one I can relate to. "Dear God, I'll bet it's hard for you to love all the people in the world. There are only 4 in our family, and I can't do it." Well, I can relate to that one. I'll tell you something. Kids have a lot of faith. Kids have a lot of faith. Said, "Dear God," Billy says, "if you watch me in church Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes." "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed so much if they had their own room. It works for me and my brother." Kids. I like the one that said, the little guy said, "I don't care what anybody else does, God, I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you." And there are those of us who are sitting here in the sound of my voice tonight who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you say you trust God. And then the first time God gives you a little something in your pathway, you pray and it doesn't come through as you think it ought to, we lose our trust in God. Now, I'm not talking to anybody tonight. I'm talking to myself. Every child that wrote that a letter there expected God to read that letter, and that's what God wants from us in prayer. He wants us to expect that He hears us and He will answer our prayers. But let's get honest about Scripture tonight. God says, "I expect you to pray." God says, "I expect you to believe I'll hear that prayer." Then God says, "I expect you to believe I will answer that prayer, but you cannot give up on me." Now I want to talk about some reasons why some folks give up. Folks, God hears and answers prayers. Jesus said so in the Scriptures here. You cannot do any more than you've done until you pray. But you can do much more, so much more after you've prayed, when you have prayed. It's not going to be one of these rah, 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 fight team, fight messages where everybody's going to hoop and holler. But I hope this thing sinks in, because it is absolutely essential that you as a church and you as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, understand the truth of these 5 verses. It ends up very, 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 very peculiar. Very peculiarly. You see, you can do much more after you've prayed when you prayed, because it all depends on not giving God up on God. And in Matthew 7, Jesus gives us 2 commands to follow, to show that we haven't given up on God and reasons why we shouldn't. Look at verse 7. Follow God's requirements in prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, and knock. He talks on this subject twice in the Bible, on this very subject. No other subject like that. He is saying there is no substitute for prayer. And yet, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the hardest thing you will do after you're saved is pray. Sir, the hardest thing you will do after you're saved, you will pray.
Sir. Keep going, brother.
Yeah, preach on.
Yeah. Preach.
The hardest thing you will do after you get saved is pray.
Amen.
You're a bunch of liars if you're not going to say yes.
Yeah, you're right.
How much time did we spend in prayer before we came here?
That was me.
I'll tell you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the hardest thing in the world, and yet it's the most blessed and the most wonderful, and it's the easiest thing in all the whole wide world to do, my dear friend. But it becomes the hardest thing once you are saved. And that's because the enemy makes it clear and plain to you to get discouraged. That you ought to get discouraged. There are certain things that, well, let me say it this way. Bible study, soul winning, and tithing are not substitutes for prayer. There is no substitute for prayer. There is no substitute for prayer. There are certain things God does by prayer. He does not do any other way. If you're going to involve God in your life, you must pray. If you are going to involve God in your life, you must pray. I don't care how good of a Christian you think you are. If you want to have God involved in your life, you must pray. Now there are three verbs that I find here, and I want to talk on them tonight. One verb is ask, the other one is seek, and the third one is knock. Now I want you to notice that this is not a request from God. This is a command. I want you to notice, my dear friend, my dear brother and sister in Christ, listen to me, please. This is not a request. This is a command. God commands you and I to pray. It's not a request. And so if He commands you to pray, when you don't pray, it is what? Say it loud.
Sin.
Now, I don't know how many of you came tonight to church expecting a blessing from God, and you sinned. You didn't pray. Now, this is hard stuff. I know that. And it's not popular stuff. And you won't get it in a contemporary church. But it's clear and plain tonight, my dear friend, that if you left your house without praying tonight, don't expect a blessing. God says, I'm commanding these three verbs. Now, think about this thing. Just think about this thing. If prayer is a command, then not to pray, of course, is a sin. Turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you get to Joshua, then you've gone too far. If you get to the maps, don't tell anybody. First Samuel chapter 12. Now, this is one of my favorite portions. In fact, when I have youngsters, I sign their Bibles, I usually use this verse. The reason I use this verse is I want you to listen very carefully as I read it and to see what it says. Verse 23, First Samuel chapter 12. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in not praying for you. It's a sin not to pray. It's a command of God. When you pray, when you don't pray, you sin against three people. You sin against God because He commands it. That's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 12. You sin against other people who are depending on you to pray. Often my wife and I will go, we go so many places and somebody will say, well, now just pray for me. And I have gotten into the habit of when somebody says to me, would you pray for me? I said, brother, yes, let's go right now.
Amen.
Because I am still human and I have a faulty memory and I may forget to pray. So I'll pray for you right now. If you want prayer, let's you and I pray. You say, well, it can't do it. It can't do it in the public place. You can do it anywhere, my friend. Let's forget about what's around us.
Amen.
Let's get a hold of God.
Preach it.
Amen.
America needs this. Guess I'm not going to get to the message of where America is in prophecy as far as I'm concerned, but maybe we will and maybe we won't. I'll just whet your appetite. That's how I get invited back. There are two kinds of sin. There's a sin of commission and a sin of omission. I don't need to explain that, but I think a Sunday school teacher explained it better than anything else. She said in the Sunday school class, what are sins of omission? And the little girl said, those are sins we should have committed but didn't. I don't mean that. We can sin by doing wrong things, but you can sin by failing to do the right thing. Failing to pray. Now when you start talking about prayer, it becomes a dry old message. They fill up the Bibles, and they say, well, we'll endure the next 25 minutes. If you say that, I'll make it 45. We'll endure the next 25 minutes and get out of here. I know how to pray. Do you? And do you pray? And do you pray every day? And do you wake up in the morning and pray?
Amen.
You wait to get my age and my wife's age. I ain't going to tell you what my wife's age is. Better not, she says. I'll just tell you, she celebrated her 39th birthday 33 times. I didn't tell them, I did not say it now, honey. I don't get upset. We can sin by doing the wrong things, but you can sin by failing to do the right things, James 4 tells us. And I'm not going to turn to that right now. You know you ought to pray, and when you don't pray, it is sin. And I'm moving along. Ask, seek, and knock. Don't give up on God. Don't quit. Now each verb demands more effort. Now watch this thing. Each one of these verbs demands more effort. And before I go any farther, because I see some Bibles turning, James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know it's good to pray. You know that God's commanded you to pray. If you don't do it, God says it is sin.
Amen. Sir.
We're so ready to call drinking and carousing
Come on, preacher. Amen.
And adultery,
yeah.
Swearing and all this kind of stuff, sin. But I'm going to tell you something, my
Amen.
Dear friend.
On,
when you fail to do that which is right, but you know you ought to do, it is sin. And God says if you don't pray, it's a sin. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. We'll get to that a little later on in the message. I don't know how to pray. We'll get to that a little later on in the message. If you're an unsaved man, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or a woman, and you don't know if you died this very night that where you would spend eternity, there's only one prayer for you.
Amen.
God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. That's the prayer. You pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer. He'll hear that prayer. He'll answer that prayer. He'll save you, and you'll have a home in heaven.
Amen.
He says, is that simple? Well, yeah, it's that simple for you, but it wasn't for him. He hung on the cross for that.
Oh,
and we talked about that last night. And I was going to talk about it tonight, but maybe I'll save that for some other time. Each verb demands more effort. Now watch this thing. Ask, that's a verbal request. You just ask God, will you do so-and-so? Ask. When you seek, you go beyond asking. You are looking for an answer. Ask. You're asking for something. When you seek, you're looking for a specific answer. Knock, you go beyond asking and seeking and go to a specific door at a specific time and place and begin knocking. We'll go through that a little bit later on now, but I just want to let those three. Every one of those verbs demands more effort. It isn't just ask, seek, and knock. They go together. You ask, then you seek, and then you have persistent knocking. First thing is ask. The problem in your life and mine and this church is not listen to me please. Is not unanswered prayer, it's unasked prayer. Somebody says, when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised because we're going to see a place that's not filled with unanswered prayer, but we're going to find a place that's been filled with unasked prayers. We find the potential, the great potential that God has for us there. by having ready to answer our prayers, and we have not asked. Now, I don't expect everybody to go, rah, 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 fight, team, fight, hallelujah, because I expect this to be a somber message. I can preach those kind, as well as the other kind. You ask because you ask amiss. You ask the wrong way. You ask for the wrong things, and whatever the case may be, but you ask amiss. When I pray, doesn't, you say, somebody will say, well, when I pray, doesn't God already know what I'm going to ask for? I say, yes, He does. Well, then what's the sense of praying? That's easy to answer. When you pray, asking shows that you are depending upon God. It shows dependence, dependence, dependence. You throw yourself at the mercy, and you ask God. How'd you get saved? Yeah. Oh, did you ask Him? Yeah. You threw yourself on the dependence of your good works, or upon some church, or upon some religion, or for some baptism, or something like this, some water baptism, or something like this. My friend, you missed it. When you ask God to save you, you begin to trust God that He will save you. Yes, that's how you got saved. Yes. That's the whole principle. And I'm not going to get into it all and get off on rabbit trails, because I'll never get this message done. This is such an amazing truth to God's people. It is so unrealized. You may be sitting here tonight and you have no idea that in prayer, that in very heaven, there are unanswered... No, no, my dear friend. I ask for prayers. God is ready to answer. God is more... And I'll show you that in just a few moments here. God is so ready to answer prayer for whatever you ask. But we fail to ask because we ask amiss. We don't really believe it. Now watch this thing carefully. It'll change your prayer life, I promise you. Not that it needs changing. It may not need changing. You're saying, God, I'm depending on You. When I ask, I'm depending upon You. When I ask my dad for something, I'm depending upon him. That's dependence. Now there's some benefits in... Let me illustrate this a little bit better if I can. There's some benefits in having kids. Not many, but there are some. For instance, the IRS says you can claim them as dependents. That's a benefit. But what is bad is that when they grow up and up and on their own, and you can no longer claim them as dependents, that's what bugs me. Because I spend more money on them now and I can't claim it than I did when they were younger. It just doesn't seem fair. And some of you don't know what I'm getting to, but you will when they grow up. Pastor Mike and I came up the steps. And Donna was standing there with one of the boys. And I said, he looks like he's in trouble. He wasn't. But he had that look on his face that his dad understood. He's not in trouble. He wants money. It's pretty hard to distinguish between the two. They get that mournful look on their face as if they were going to have the Antichrist chew them up. Dad, I need money. What do you need money for? Well, I would like to buy a sandwich. Well, how much money do you need? $100. Okay. You're a dad. You know what I'm talking about. If you think that's bad, wait till you become a grandpa. And if you think that's bad, wait till you become a great-grandpa. Every time those two great-grandsons of mine get a mournful look on their face, my wife buys them. She doesn't even ask them what they want. She buys them something. God bless you. How much did you spend on the kids today? See, I got it. Let me tell you something. You never reach the age when you are independent of God. The fellow says, I'm independently wealthy. I'll tell you something right here now. A heart attack will change your mind. I'm healthy. I pump iron. I run 5 miles every day. I eat oat bran. I even inject it intravenously. I'm healthy. I lift up weights. Let me tell you something, my friend. One cancer cell will show you how dependent you are on God. You're always dependent upon God. That's why you ask independence. If you're here tonight, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are walking on dangerous ground because you need to depend upon God, but there's no way to approach God except through the death, burial, and resurrection and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
So asking is dependence, showing dependence on God. Now watch this thing. Seeking. Seeking you will find. Asking expresses dependence. Seeking expresses our desire. Our desire. See, there are times when you pray, you know exactly what you want. Haven't you prayed and don't know exactly what you wanted sometimes? I know exactly what I wanted, and I prayed for it specifically. But sometimes you don't, and you don't know how to pray. And that's when you begin seeking. Turn me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, very quickly now, because we've got to move along. Romans chapter 8. I believe the Lord has spoken to Brother Mike and Brother Pat about teaching me how to bring short messages. But the music is great. Chapter 8, look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Not only do not know what we should pray for many times, but we don't know how we should pray. You see that?
Amen.
I'm not reading a comic book. I'm reading God's Word now. And read that 26th verse. For when, 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, wait a minute, where am I? Yeah. For we know not what we should pray for or as we ought. We don't even know what to pray for, but we don't even know how to pray for it. Now, please, don't sit there now, and you've been a Christian for 20 years. Now, don't tell me how to pray. You say, well, preacher, you just trying to tell me how to... No, I'm just refreshing your memory.
Amen.
We are prone to get over it, aren't we? Only one thing man learns from history, and that's this. Never learns from history. Never learns from history. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. My, oh my. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's not speaking in unknown tongues. Spirit of God speaks to our interceding high priest in heaven. And he in turn reaches the throne of God because the blood has been applied on the mercy seat.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the only way it gets there.
Amen.
You say, you mean there's blood up there? Yeah, you know that. Blood was shed on Calvary's cross, but then you read the scriptures and you find out that it was sprinkled 7 times before the altar. That's for our prayers. Fact of the matter is, if the blood isn't spread for our preaching, it's not worth anything. If your prayers are not saturated in blood, my dear friend, it's not going to get any place. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that does it all.
Amen.
So why do you say it's allowed? I just hope maybe some liberal walking by and hears it. See, you're getting too old to preach like that. No, I'll tell you when I get too old to preach like that. I don't know how or what to pray for. The Holy Spirit will do it for you. I'm afraid most of our prayers are like this. Now, you listen, and I carefully listen. I do. I'm not kidding you a bit. I honestly, when man starts praying, I start listening. If he's sending a grocery list into God, or if he begins to give some orders to God, I just shut him off and I begin to pray to myself. And no sense in listening to that. Send grocery list up to God. God bless this. Oh, I've heard preachers say, I mean fundamental Bible-believing preachers say, oh God, won't you please, by your Holy Spirit, won't you send the Holy Spirit down here on us today? Well, you dumbbell, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. He's in you now.
Amen.
Come down, Holy Spirit. He wouldn't have come down once upon a time, you'd have never got saved.
Amen.
But after you got saved, he lives inside of you.
Yes, sir.
And that's the thing that the contemporary church leaves out. They leave out the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you how good you feel. And here you got some 79-year-old bum up here standing up telling you don't know how to pray. Isn't that a blessing? Then he says, knock. Knock. Knocking. Now listen, asking expresses our dependence. Seeking expresses our desire. Knocking expresses our determination. We're going to stay at that door until we get an answer. I don't know about your kids, but my kids, when Gene and I'd get into a room by ourselves, wanted to get away from all the hustle of the bus, they'd start knocking on the door if they wanted something. They'd go out of the house looking everywhere for us, and finally they'd find out, well, this is where we're in one room, and they'd start knocking. And they'd start knocking. And they'd start knocking. And I'm not going to tell you what my wife and I are doing, but he'd start knocking. None of your business. We're putting up the curtains. And they knock. And they knock. And they knock. And they keep on knocking. I read this illustration about a dad who had four kids. He got tired of playing mom. Mom went out shopping. She left him home with four kids. Oh, that's the worst thing that can happen. Jean and her girlfriend, her girlfriend married one of my brothers, and I married Jean. And they wanted to go shopping one time. We had two little kids. And their little boy, Mike, she's laughing. You heard it, haven't you, huh? Don't tell anybody. And so we're sitting there, we're talking about different things, and all of a sudden I says, you got a dead rat in this house? I said, no. I said, well, it sure smells like a dead rat. He said, come to think about it, it does. It smells like about two dead rats. And you know what happened? The little guy was only about 11 months old. He was not able to sit up. And he had doo-doo-dee's diaper. Hey, nothing like it. Clears out the sinuses. Brings tears to your eyes in prayer. So my brother says to me, he says, what are you going to do with him? I said, my kid. He said, well, they won't be home for another hour or so. I said, well, he'll be pretty soaked up by that time. So you know what we did? We filled the tub up with warm water and sat the kid in there, and he sat in that tub for a half an hour, 45 minutes, till they came home.
Yeah.
Don't tell the Humane Society about it. They'll have me shot for something, all right? But anyhow, this is the guy was. He was taking care of four kids and dirty diapers and toys all over the place, and kids are hungry and so on and so forth. And boy, he he had it. He was tired of playing mom. And so he put the kids in one room. He says, kids, stay in this room, play until I come back. And don't you leave this room. And he went into the bathroom, took off his clothes and got in the shower and turned on the hot water. And boy, I'll tell you, he could feel the tension coming out of his fingers. Ah, that hot water felt so good. He stayed in there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden he heard a knock on his door. It upset him, but he said, I'm not going to answer. He just kept in that shower, knocked on that door, knocked on that door, knocked on that door, knocked on that door, knocked on that door. It was a little four or five-year-old daughter. She kept knocking on that door, and he kept pretending like he wasn't going to pay attention. She wouldn't quit. She kept on knocking. So finally, he'd had it. He lost it all. He said, listen, can I have my privacy? Got real quiet on the outside of that bathroom door. Knocking stopped for a moment. He felt good, got back on there with the hot water, and then a tiny little voice says, Daddy, where is your privacy? I can't find it. Where is your privacy? She stayed with it. She stayed with it. That's the spirit of prevailing prayer.
Amen.
You guys are late bloomers on some of those jokes, aren't they? I worked on that thing for about 3 weeks now. Come on. And that's the response I get for that? Good. You wouldn't understand. Now, you'll get them one of these days. You'll have four or five or six of them in your house. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. We keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking because of what God says. Look at verse 8, chapter 7. Verse 8. I'm going to turn the page here. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. Now, 95% of Christianity doesn't understand this verse. And you better understand it. Or it'll get discouraged in prayer. You know what he says over there? Look at verse 8 again. Let me read it to make sure I got it right now. You watch carefully. For everyone that asketh, receiveth what he asketh for. And he that seeketh, findeth what he asketh for, what he looking for. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto the door that he wants. Is that what it says? That's not what God says. And yet that's what 95% of Christianity believes. Or they get confused about prayer. Notice, you may not get what you're asking for, but you will receive. You will find. And I say to you, what do you want second best for anyhow?
Amen.
God doesn't always give you what you want. It's always something better. You may not get what you're asking for, but you'll receive. You will keep on seeking. You may not find it the time you want to find it, but keep on seeking. Keep on seeking, and you will find it in God's time.
Amen.
Knock, and it shall be opened. It may not be that door which you want, but it will be opened. I tell you what I've learned about God. He has not always given me that which I've asked for. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful He didn't. My life would be a mess. God doesn't always give you what you want. It's always something better. Turn me to Psalm 106. This has become my prayer partner when I pray. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And remember this. This is an extremely important portion of God's Word. Make this your prayer partner. Psalm 106, verse 15. Verse 15, I think that's what I want. Yes, okay. And he gave them, watch it, their request, but sent leanness into their soul. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I'm so glad that God didn't give me everything I asked for.
Amen.
My life would have been a mess. You know why prayer is so wonderful and so important in my life? It's not so wonderful and awesome because God will give you what you want. It's because God will give you what He wants for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Look at verses 7 through 9. Let's read those down. Ask and shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened in God's time. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? He just tosses that thing. What are you thinking? God won't take care of you? Just because we're a bunch of spoiled brats, aren't we? We want it right now. We're so used to McDonald's hamburgers. And we're so used to fast foods, and we're so used to quick banking, and we're so used to quick, my dear friend, that we think that we're going to get something from God. My dear friend, God will give it to you in His time, but just keep asking, and keep seeking, and keep knocking. Don't give up on God.
Amen.
He will give you what He wants. Now look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them, give good things to them that ask Him? For we know that all things work together for what? Good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. If you don't want to give up on God, then you follow His requirements for prayer. Otherwise, you are sinning, and there is no, my dear friend, there is no way to reach the throne of God as sin in your life. Just stay with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. Stay with the stuff. Stay with it. Now, many of you here that are personal witness to that. Now, this portion of God's Word ties in, and this is the key to it all. In verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, what in the world is this doing here? What does this just seem to be stuck in there? Why is the golden rule just put in there right in the middle of that thing? Now, the first thing I want to tell you is this. In studying your Bible, whenever you see the word, you need to ask yourself, you see this word, therefore, you ask yourself this question. What is the word, therefore, therefore? What is the word, therefore, therefore? What's it there for? Why did the Holy Spirit put it there? You are now going to apply the ask, seek, knock principle to these verses and to guarantee you that God hears and God will answer your prayer. But I didn't... Now listen, make sure you understand it. Not what you want, not when you want it, and not where you want it. But in His good time, He will answer your prayer. The golden rule will prove it. Now watch this thing. Here's the entire message. I don't know what to ask for, so I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me. I looked at that thing and I said, what in the world is the golden rule stuck in there right in the middle of that thing? It just doesn't make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, I don't worry about a concordance or anything else. I just say, what is it there for? Why did you put it there, Holy Spirit of God? And you begin to read the text and begin to read the text. Now, I want you to notice, if when we prayed to God, He would fold His arms and stay silent, He would be breaking His own golden rule. Don't lose sight of that. Do you follow me what I'm saying? If God would, when you ask Him, when you pray, if you, and when we prayed to God, and He would fold His arms and stay silent, He would be breaking His own golden rule. He would not be doing unto us as He would want us to do unto Him. You understand that? He would not be doing to us as we would want Him to do unto Him. Time is getting short. I got it short, but I'm going to try to finish it up here. I would say on that portion of God's Word, you've got to understand that. That is a principle that is absolutely important. God, my dear friend, God will put that golden rule in there because the golden rule applies to God. It is His rule. If God would ask us to do something, He would expect us to answer Him. God would expect us to respond. And God says, I'm not going to do unto you the same way I want you to do unto me. If I ask you for something, says God, I would expect you to answer me as I will answer your request. You got a guarantee that if you ask God for something, if you seek and if you knock, and if you stay persistently, God will answer that prayer. If He doesn't, He violates His own golden rule. And that's an important principle in your life as a Christian. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't understand? Don't be embarrassed. You don't understand it, I'll go over it again. It's so important. Don't you see how you violate God's, how God will be violating His own golden rule? That is a guarantee that God will answer your prayer in His good time and by His good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Guarantee.
Right.
So the command to pray is supplemented by the guarantee that God will answer your prayer in His time with what is best for you. Whew. Wish I had time to get into it. And I wish I had time to get some of you folks here to give a testimony about some things you've asked for God and God didn't give it to you. Amen?
Amen?
When God answers prayer, He will be doing for us what He expects us to do unto Him if He were praying to us. When you are keeping the golden rule, you are treating people the way God is treating you. Philosophers have said the golden rule is don't do unto others what you don't want them to do unto you. That's not what Jesus said. He's not saying don't do unto others if they don't do it to you or worse than that, they won't do it unto you, or worse than that, or they do worse unto you. He says, don't do unto others, simply and clearly and plainly, in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever the men should do to you, do ye so to them. As your heavenly Father has done to you, so do you to other men. Don't expect to do anything worse, or whatever the case may be. I read a story about a very, very rich woman, old woman. This is a true story in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Very rich. Extremely rich. She lived in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And she drove a Mercedes. And she was doing her Christmas shopping. And because she was so old and the weather was so bad, she was waiting to get into a front row, waiting for somebody to move out of a front row, out of the parking lot, and then she was going to park in there right in front so she could walk right into the store. So she went around that parking lot for about 20 minutes. And all of a sudden she saw a guy coming with a bundle of packages, and she says, I'll bet he's going to the car. Boy, I hope he's going to the front row. Sure enough, he went right to the front door, right exactly where she wanted to park. She said, boy, that's a lucky thing for me, she said. So she sat there and she waited for him to get in. Of course, he got in, and like most people, especially women, I get behind a place there where I know there's a parking place, and I'm waiting for a woman to get out. She puts her groceries in the front seat, then she decides maybe she ought to put them in the back seat, so she gets out and puts them in the back seat. Then she gets back in the car, and she picks up the payphone and telephone, and she begins to talk on the telephone and gets that done. And then when she gets that done, she's got to put her lipstick on. I wonder where she's going. She's in the car. Nobody's going to see her. And all that kind of business. Well, make a long story short, she waited. Sure enough, this guy, he came to the car and put his groceries in, started up the car, backed out, and started to pull away. And the lady is getting ready to take that parking place, and about that time, some young squirt with a red Corvette, zoom, cut right in and took the parking place. He got out and started to walk away. She rolled on her window and said, hey, I've been waiting 20 minutes for that spot. I've been waiting for 20 minutes for that spot. And the smart aleck college kid says, sorry lady, that's how it is when you are young and quick. She didn't say a word. She rolled up the window, put the Mercedes in reverse, backed up about 25 feet, put it in low gear, tramped on the gas, and smashed right into his Corvette. I mean, he pushed the rear fender and the side door right into the seat, and glass all over the place, and the guy stood there horrified. Busted his Corvette all to pieces. She started to drive away. He yelled, hey, where are you going? She replied, Sonny, that's how it is when you're old and rich. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what he said. He said, as you have others do unto you, do also unto them. Let's get this down to its least common denominator. The golden rule will solve all the problems in the Mideast. The sole golden rule will solve all the problems in Africa. The golden rule will solve all the problems in Asia. The golden rule will solve all the problems in America. My dear friend, the golden rule will solve all the problems. We don't need a United Nations. We need the golden rule, my dear friend. As God taught it, I will treat you the way God has treated me. You ought to treat others as God treats you. Let me say that again. I only heard two amens. You ought to treat others as God treats you.
Amen.
I will treat you the way that God has treated me. And someone has said, heaven is filled, as I said before, with answers to prayers that no one has bothered to ask. Ask. Seek. Knock. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. Never too late for my marriage. Never too late for my children. Never too late to pray for America. Never too late to pray for repentance for America. Follow God's requirements. Don't be doctrinally stymied with the The doctrine found in Matthew chapter 7. Ask. Total complete dependence upon God. Nobody else to depend upon. I trust you, God. That's the reason I'm asking you. Seek. God, I desire you. You and you alone. According to your will, answer my prayer. Let me find it. Knock. Determine. Determine. God will give you something better than what you ask for. My dear friends, I close by saying to you, it is a sin not to pray. But it's a greater sin and a greater loss to quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't quit on the Lord. He hasn't quit on you. He's got something for you, and it's better than you ever dreamed. That's the principle. Ask, seek, and knock. The golden rule goes right with it. You can't tear the two apart. Now, I know this is a kind of a dry old message, and I'm closing. Maybe there's somebody here this evening that you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never been born again. If you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure where you'd go to heaven. I want to tell you something. God loves you. God wants to save you. There's no church that wants to save you. There's no preacher that wants to save you. Oh, he might have a desire, but he can't save you. There's nobody who can save you except God. And you must turn to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. And trust Him. He says, if you ask and seek and knock, He'll give it to you. If you ask God to save you tonight, listen to me. You can go home, put your head on a pillow, and know beyond a shadow of doubt that if you don't wake up in the morning, it's A-OK. Amen. You're home. You're home. There's a 25-and-a-half-year-old bum coming out of World War II. Served with the Rangers for 3.5 years. I came out and thought the world owed me a living. And one day, I found somebody who loved me more than anybody could ever love me. So October of 1948, I found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I've been preaching ever since.
Amen.
But I'm 79, don't intend to quit.
Amen.
You say, well, would you ever stop, think about it sometimes, you get a little bit of a pain? When I get a little bit of a pain, I run up and down steps. I have suicidal tendencies. I mean, you think I'm kidding, I'm not. My wife thinks I'm crazy. And I think she is too for marrying me. We've been married 53, going on 54 years or something like that. And we have the greatest life in the world. We're traveling all over the United States. I leave here Thursday. And from there we'll be traveling until Thanksgiving. All over the country telling the riches of God's grace to lost people. I want to talk to you. Can I talk to you as a friend? Just a one lug to another lug. Or one man to a young lady or an elderly lady. God wants to save you tonight. He wants to settle that question, that doubt in your mind, where will I spend eternity? Thought about how many of those that were died in that wreck, in the Twin Towers, and I wonder how many are in heaven tonight and how many are in hell. I'm no judge, and I'm not saying any one thing or the other. But oh, my dear friend, if they have never been born again, and their loved ones have never been born again. What a hopeless state that must be. My God, they're dying and going to hell by the thousands, by the millions. And this is what you're here for. But if you're here tonight, won't you trust Him tonight? We're not trying to get you to join this church. Not trying to get you to join this church. We're telling you one thing, that God wants to save you. God wants to give you eternal life. Say, well, what have I got to do? I got to get baptized? No, you don't have to get baptized. That's afterwards. What you've got to do is come and acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. That you don't have any assurance of heaven as your home. And that you'd like to know for sure that when you died, you'd go to heaven. And ask God to save you. And He will. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there someone here this evening? Now, come on now. Get honest now. Be honest now. You can fool everybody. But yourself and God. If I were to die tonight, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. That doesn't mean you become a religious nut, religious fanatic, you walk around with a Bible, slapping people on the side of the head, it means you get peace on the inside like you've never had before. So I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'd like to know Him. Here's my hand. Please remember me in prayer. Would you just slip it up and put it right back down? God bless you. Turn the back. Put your hand back down. Anybody else? Come on now. Come on now. Be honest. Child of God, are you praying for lost souls right now? First thing you ask for is God's forgiveness for not praying by coming to this place. And then begin to look for God in your prayers. Anybody else would raise their hand and say, I'm not sure. And I'd like to know for sure. Here's my hand. Please pray for me quickly. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thou dost know the need here, Father. We commit it all in your care and keeping. We've done what you asked us to do. And now we pray that by thy Holy Spirit you take the word and penetrate deep into the hearts of thy people, that we might become the prayer warriors that we ought to be. Oh God, how we need to pray. Thank you for a praying church. The hand that was raised in the back, our Father, we pray that peace, as the word of God has spoken to him, might come across his heart and soul, that he might know for sure that he is saved. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed just another minute before we go. And that young man there in the back that raised his hand said, I want to be sure that I'm saved. I'd like to know for certain that my sins are forgiven. I just wonder, we're going to... Brother Mel has already prayed for you. I know many others in this room are praying for you, young man. We're going to dismiss the service in just a minute, and I just want to ask you, as soon as this service is over, one or two of our men will be happy just to sit with you for a moment, open the scriptures, and show you how you can know for certain, before you go home tonight, that you are saved, that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have eternal life. And I hope you'll just allow us that privilege to do that tonight before we go home, just to sit with you for a moment, show you how you can be saved. And I wonder, before we go, might there be any other Christian here tonight? You'd say, I would sure like, and I sure need tonight, the Lord to help me in my prayer life. That message was for me tonight. The Spirit of God spoke to me. My prayer life is not what it should be. And I need to be more faithful in prayer. And I want you to pray for me tonight, Pastor. Is there anyone like that? I'm not going to have you get out of your seat or come to the front tonight. This is just between you and God, but you acknowledge it before the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Number of hands. Amen. Just between you and God tonight. Nobody's looking around. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else tonight? Now, if the Lord spoke to you about anything else this evening, maybe there's something going on in your heart and life tonight that you just need to talk to somebody about, we're going to dismiss the service in just a second. Just real simply, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. But if there's something troubling you, something bothering you tonight, something you need to pray with someone about, I want to give you an opportunity tonight as soon as we are dismissed. If there is anyone like that, you just feel free. Come right here to the front. And we'll talk with you and pray together with you about it. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. What a blessed reminder to us, Lord, that we are to treat others the way you've treated us. Father, thank you. Help us to remember that each and every day. Thank you for the lessons of this message tonight. Oh, Lord God, I pray that we might be more faithful, Lord, in our prayer lives to thee. That, Lord, we might learn what it really means to ask and to seek and to knock. Lord, there were many hands raised around this room tonight. And Father, you know the state of our prayer lives. Lord, you alone can measure and judge whether we truly are a praying church. Lord God, I hope that's one area that we might not fail thee in. Lord, work in the hearts of your people. Truly, Lord, help us to be a praying church. May we have praying homes. I thank you tonight, Lord, for the reminder of this church. Surely it was timely, and the Spirit of God had a message for us, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to take heed. And Lord, you've seen these hands tonight. More importantly, you've seen their hearts. And Lord, I pray that there would be a change in each one of us, that we would get serious with God, Lord. There would be more faithfulness in our prayer life. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts. I pray especially for this young man tonight. Lord God, may you bring peace to his heart tonight and salvation to him. What a blessing it is, Lord, to know that salvation is a gift from thee, just received simply by faith in you. Help him to understand that. Give him an understanding, Lord, that he could see how he can be born again tonight. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Father, we pray now as we go from this place, Lord, we ask for protection. Lord God, may we walk worthy of thee. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We can stand together. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you tonight. And we're going to be dismissed. God bless you. Tomorrow night again, we'll be here 7 o'clock. If you can go with us in the morning. I know some of you came in a little bit late. We changed the schedule. And we are going to be here 7 o'clock tomorrow night for the meeting. Right? And we're going to be here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning for those that are going out on the street ministry. All right? All right. Lord bless you. Good night.